Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thank you, Anna. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Minister's Friend podcast. Today, I have the privilege to begin a new series of podcast episodes interviewing my longtime friend, Dan Bohl, who is currently the Director of Alliance Youth with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. I had originally invited Dan on the podcast last year for our emphasis on effectively reaching today's youth for Christ. We just couldn't get our schedules coordinated. Now Dan is getting ready to transition to a new phase of life and a new career in local church ministry. So our conversation migrated into one of my life's passions, disciple making. We still talk about youth, but with Dan's new role as a disciple making pastor, well, it's simply a timely and very practical discussion. Grab a cup of coffee and sit down with us at the virtual table as Dan explains where his passion for reaching youth comes from. Well, today I have the pleasure of interviewing a longtime friend of mine. Dan Bohl is currently with the Christian Missionary Alliance, but is about to move into a new role. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. But Dan Bohl, welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you, John. It is such a pleasure to be with you, to see your face as we're talking. Over the years, we've had some great contact and run-ins together. It's just a pleasure to be with you, man. I love your heart for ministry. And I think I was 21 years old when we first met, and I came to Woodbury Community Church as the part-time youth pastor there. And the 2.5 years I was there, just had a chance to watch you do ministry, watch you lead, watch you speak truth into my life, watch you raise your family as I partnered with you in that with a brief season with your kids as their youth pastor. And man, just a joy to see how God can continue those relationships some 13 years later, you know?
Amen. Amen. And you've had a great impact on my kids. Well, my kids aren't kids anymore. They're all adults now.
Adults. But, right?
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Dan Bohl and his family.
Yeah. So I have an amazing wife, Amy. You know her really well.
Yep.
And I have 5 really fantastic kids. I have 1 son and then 4 daughters after that. They're all between the ages of 10 and 5. So I was 1 kid a year for 5 years. And you can imagine how busy that makes our family and how crazy they can make things at times. And, you know, for the last 10 years, you know, I've been spending time inside the Christian Missionary Alliance, a church denomination here. It's global, but, you know, U.S. constituency is about 500,000 people, a little over 2,000 churches from coast to coast. Interestingly enough, and I love this fact about the Alliance, and it's just not a well-known fact, 48% of our congregations here in the United States do not speak English as their primary language.
Really?
Really. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we have over 36 languages in the Alliance spoken on a Sunday morning here in the States. And so I don't know another denomination as ethnically and racially diverse as the Christian Missionary Alliance in the U.S.
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, it really fits the heart of the denomination, but I had no idea it was that diverse.
Oh yeah. It's amazing. I mean, it's really amazing. And I think it's a little over half of our constituents. So while 48% of our churches are non-Anglo churches, a little more than half of our constituents are non-Anglo. So they're actually the majority people groups when they're all combined. But it's kind of a unique fabric, you know, that God kind of brought together. So my ministry
really cool.
has been varied between the Anglo church and a variety of other ethnic churches, a variety of Asian churches and Spanish-speaking churches, and just really feel blessed by God to have that kind of experience.
Amen. You know what? As you've already explained, our connection started with you being in youth ministry in the church that we were attending when we were in Minnesota, and the profound impact you had on all 3 of my kids, but particularly on Josiah during that time, who's my middle kid. And just the unique approach you took to youth. I think we still tell Dan Bowl stories about things you made my kids eat in youth meetings.
Yeah, so. Yeah, we did that. Yeah, we built some large potato can. Those were my much younger youth pastor years, John. You got the privilege of letting me cut my teeth on your kids, so hopefully
they weren't scarred for life. So you're fine.
Right, yeah, we're good.
But originally I was going to interview you in your current role.
Yeah.
About reaching youth for Christ. And we are going to talk about that just a little bit. But where did your passion for youth originally come from? You really connect with youth. So where did that come from?
Yeah, it started. I mean, I didn't come to Christ until I was 17 years old. Hmm. And that, I mean, I'm sure certain that has a significant amount to do with it. So my dad, as you know, John, and as the listeners will soon find out, he's a pastor. Hmm. And I grew up in a pastor's home inside of a denomination of churches called the Grace Brethren Church. In southeastern Pennsylvania. And I had it was a good church. It was a Bible believing church, Bible teaching church. My dad was a good pastor. I just think that, like many children, you have to kind of let the Holy Spirit open your own heart and mind to the reality of the gospel. And when you're at church, I mean, I went to a Christian school at that church. So I was at that church maybe 7+ days a week.
Wow.
And the religiosity of that experience and the ingrained institution of church, I think just whatever it was, I just wasn't resonating on Sunday morning. Yeah. It didn't click. And then when I was 17, I ended up going to a youth conference, and while I was there, it was Francis Chan. I'll never forget it because it was Francis Chan before he was Francis Chan. He was just Frank, right? Like he was nobody.
Yeah.
And he gave maybe a 30-minute message. I mean, it was just, I don't even remember the words. I just remember the Holy Spirit getting a hold of my heart.
Wow.
And it was in that place. And fascinatingly enough, it was within 24 hours that I also received my own call to ministry. Mm-hmm. So it was a conversion experience and then a calling experience. Mm-hmm. And what's unique about my call that I try to explain to folks is not once did I ever feel called to youth ministry or children. I never felt a call to an area of ministry. I just felt called to the church. And here's how I became fascinated with youth ministry. I love the local church. I love it. I love everything about the church. I love the various facets of it and the complexities of it. I just really love this thing that Jesus died for. It's like, amen. I love it. It's that pastoral heart, and when you read the book of Judges, I think that the prophets, the priests, if they were doing their job right, they really loved the people.
Right.
They really loved the people, but generationally speaking, right? And you look at Judges, you're only ever one generation away from, in this case, Israel, no longer following the Lord, having little faith. It was very much about institution and tribe and people. And really, where was God in the mix, right? He was sort of a nice nightcap on top of the whole thing. But for the most part, they were apostate, right? I mean, they were making and worshiping raising Asherah poles and worshiping false gods and everything else. It just takes one generation. And so when you see how close you are to seeing the next generation disappear, and we have examples of the next generation no longer following after God and the consequences of those things, for me, it's like, man, okay, the Lord really is passionate about parents passing on their faith to the next generation. We see that in Deuteronomy, right? He's very passionate about the people and the priests and the prophets holding the people accountable so they would recognize the past miracles of God, to see the future miracles of God and increase their faith in him. And generationally, I mean, I'm only going to be alive for 1.5 generations, right? Like that's how long I'll kind of live. See. Mm-hmm. But the Lord works in 1,000-year life cycles, right? 1,000-year spans. He sees the whole thing. So he raises up his people and he brings people to help faith pass on from the next generation at very specific seasons and times according to his will. And I think that's why I love youth ministry. It's like, man, I just feel like if you're going to spend your time anywhere, in the church, trying to help people know Jesus, you're going to do it here because this is foundational and this is going to outlast you, right? I mean, if you're a pastor in a church, you might have those folks if you're a youth pastor for 7 years. But the foundation you lay is the foundation of faith that allows that person to eventually mature in their faith throughout college as they raise their own families, as they engage in church later on in church communities. So, yeah, I mean, if you're going to spend time somewhere, that's where I wanted to spend time.
That's the place to do it.
That's the place to do it for me. Yep.
Very cool. Very cool. One generation away. Does that statement wake you up? It should. Dan's right. The Bible has consistently taught us that the faith is only one generation from extinction. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them on your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. Youth ministry today is vital, but we really have to ask ourselves if what we are doing is fulfilling the mandate of scriptures like these, or are we just having fun? Are we just cranking out programs? Or are we truly engaging today's young people on the level of their own hearts with the gospel, building trustworthy relationships through which they will desire to receive the spiritual investment that they need from us? Are we just teaching them on an academic level, or are we setting them up for real transformation in Jesus? And believe me, our youth can tell the difference. Dan and I will continue talking about the various aspects of disciple-making in the coming episodes. And as this series unfolds, I'd like to make a resource available to you. My latest book, Disciple-Making, Helping Local Churches Understand What Disciples Are and How to Make Them, is a practical guide to help you reboot disciple-making in your own church. The book is only 5 chapters by design, because we really want people to read it. And in it, we talk about some mandatory components of the disciple-making process for every local church, many that are probably known but are not consistently practiced anymore. I hope it's an encouragement to you. It's available through Amazon.com, but if you follow the link to my publisher in today's show notes, you can get your copy right now for $2 off the cover price. I hope it's a blessing to you. Next time, Dan and I will discuss some reasons why local churches today are struggling to reach youth in evangelism and disciple making. And in the coming weeks, we have a lot of other great interviews for you as well. We'll be talking with Dr. Peter Chinchalla of NCD America and Andrews University about the natural church development process and how it can improve your church's health and fruitful ministry. We'll also be talking to my dear friends and mentors, Tom Johnston and Mike Perkinson, about how the COVID-19 pandemic has forever changed the way we do church and ministry, and how this God-given reset is actually a good thing. That's coming up on the Minister's Friend podcast. We are so grateful that you're in our audience. The Minister's Friend podcast exists to help pastors and other church leaders like you lead their congregations well. If you're blessed by this podcast ministry, would you please tell others about us? Your recommendation to your friends, other pastors, and church leaders is the best advertising we could ask for. And please, if you would, also take a moment to give us a review on whatever platform you listen. Good reviews and good ratings by you, our audience, move us up the charts, and they actually enable us to connect with more people who may be blessed by the ministry. I'm so glad that you are with us for today's episode. I hope it's helpful to you. Thank you for joining us here on the Minister's Friend podcast. Let's do this again real soon.
You've been listening to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author John Kimball. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimball.com. That's podcast@johnrkimball.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!